Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, good evening. This is L.A. Steel. Sorry, just a few seconds late here to start the show. But tonight we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to play a couple of recordings from a gentleman who claims to channel an entity called Bashar. And this was referred to me by George Dixon the other day, and I looked at it, and we talked about it on last Friday's show, but I didn't run any clips, and tonight I'd like to do that. What he, the fascinating thing about this man is that he channels. He channels. So, he channels the entity, and I'm going to check that out for you just a second. I wanted to get that tape up from YouTube. And just a fascinating explaining some of the basic Bashar concepts. And then there's a multidimensional channeling through the psychic and so on. And there's actually a website for him that you can go to. In this particular one, it appears that there's several people that do this. I didn't realize that, but I guess they do. There's several different entities, not entities, but hosts or mediums. And in particular, I'm going to go to the one. I'll go to the site, and I'll have him introduce you to that point there, but I think you'll get a kick out of this tonight. This was channeled in October, actually 11th, 2008, and I think you'll find it fascinating. But the other ones, I'll go to the other ones that were done. Maybe we'll play them. They're only about 6 or 7 minute segments, and lucky to see them because they're fascinating. And what they talk about primarily is not so much that he's channeling, because many people do that and it's not uncommon. But the uniqueness of this person's this entity, if you will, is the clarity that he explains the very difficult concepts of existence. And I'm going to start with it. This is about 6 minutes, and I'll play this one. I'll stop. We'll discuss this a little bit, and then move on. And here. So let us continue here. Okay. Here we go. This is Bashar. Bashar.
Let us begin this transmission with the following idea that we have entitled Download. Now, we have recently communicated the idea of how ideas, concepts, information comes from the higher mind through the physical brain into the physical mind. And as the
Sorry, folks, I just got to get that one here. I'll start that again in just a second. Taking me a little while here. I kind of messed up on the bringing it out. Just take another second here. Having difficulty. I think there's thunderstorms here. We're having thunderstorms and interrupting some of the computer connections here.
Begin this transmission with the following idea that we have entitled Download. Now, we have recently communicated the idea of how ideas, concepts, information comes from the higher mind through the physical brain into the physical mind and is thus then experienced in a physical way in your reality. Let us quickly reiterate, before we go on to new information, the idea that, once again, these three components, higher mind, physical mind, personality construct, if you will, the idea being that higher mind is the conceiver, physical brain is the receiver, physical mind is the perceiver of the reality that results from the application of the information downloaded from the higher mind. Anything that is what you call an inspiration, an idea, a creation, a conception, it does not actually originate in the physical mind. It originates in the higher mind. That is then downloaded through the physical brain and is then, in a sense, set up in the physical brain in a neurological, neuroelectric way, neurochemical way, to create the physical mind that then has the perception, the experience, the feedback, the application of what you call physical reality, and thus then creates the entire experience, the entire event. But the idea, the question here, is that as you open up to receive information through the conduit of imagination, through the receiver of the brain, you can make yourself more sensitized to the idea of receiving information of higher frequency, more densely compacted, higher levels of information, higher insights, broader perspectives, and there are many ways in which this can be done. As we have said, there are many tools, many techniques. Each and every one of them is simply a permission slip that you give to yourself based on your belief system as to what will work for you and allowing you to grant yourself permission to open up and receive information and apply it in more creative and constructive ways, more positive ways. So it's not that any one specific technique or tool or ritual works better than any other. It is simply what works best for you, because whatever you are attracted to use as a permission slip is obviously keyed to your vibrational makeup. What you are attracted to, you are attracted to for a reason, the reason being that that frequency strikes a chord within you and thus then will work best for you, even though it may not work that well for someone else. But the idea here is to really understand the mechanism that's going on in terms of how the information from a higher dimension, which the higher mind occupies, is actually translated down through the brain into the physical mind, into that artificial construct we have called the personality that then does the perceiving, the experiencing. This is generally how it occurs. In your physical brain, there is a nodal point, a nodule, that you refer to as the pineal gland. This is, in many ways, accurately represented by your society, by those who have recognized that they euphemistically call it the seat of the soul. What this means is it is the interface. It is the neurological, neurochemical interface that allows for the translation of higher vibrational information into the brain in such a manner that then physical mind has access to it and can use that information to create a physical experience. How does this work? I will tell you. Thank you. The idea is that your pineal gland creates certain neurochemical transmitters. Primarily among them are what you call dimethyltryptamine, serotonin, and melatonin. The idea is that dimethyltryptamine is the primary one. It is vibrationally keyed to receive higher frequency vibrations. When those higher frequency vibrations, in a sense, are, shall we say, directed at the brain by the higher mind, directed into the brain, the pineal gland regulates the quantity of dimethyltryptamine, what you have euphemistically called DMT in your society, which is naturally produced in the brain, and it regulates the amount of that dimethyltryptamine that is appropriate for the reception of that information and the amount that is appropriate for the focusing of the physical mind in physical reality. So let us be clear about what is happening here. The pineal gland regulates this molecule and its vibration to determine exactly how and to what degree you are or are not focused in physical or non-physical reality. It is the gatekeeper. It is the regulator. It is the tuning dial for how much you are focused in physical or how much you are focused in non-physical reality.
Sorry, folks, I'm just locked out. I'll go right back to that. And go on to number two here. He discusses further the pineal gland.
Last night of your time, we spoke about the idea of downloads, and we will reiterate a few points briefly because there is connection between the idea of download and take action. We spoke about the idea of the communion between the higher self as it downloads to the physical brain, which then transmits to the physical mind information. And we reminded you that the higher mind conceives, the brain receives, the physical mind perceives. And we talked about the mechanism by which that occurs, involving the pineal gland and the neurochemical transmitters it creates in order to facilitate that connection between higher non-physical mind through the physical brain into the personality construct. Now, the reason why we remind you of the idea of the download and all the information that comes through the conduit of imagination, inspiration, and communion with the higher mind is that the idea is a two-part process. Downloading is the first part, but taking action is the second part. Once again, by analogy, you can liken it to the idea of electricity in the sense that if you are receiving information, if you are receiving inspiration, if you do not actually flow that information through you, apply it by physical action in your physical reality, then there is really no point in the continuation of the downloading of information. If you do not flow it through you, you have short-circuited its ability to be applied in physical reality, and therefore, the download information can simply stay within you, build up within you, and the downloads, in a sense, can seem to cease. For there is no reason to pick up any more information if you haven't already used what you've been given. So it is crucial to understand that in order to really use the information, to allow more information to come through, taking action is very important in your physical reality. And of course, when we talk about taking action, as we have many times, we are referring to the idea of taking action on the things that excite you the most, because excitement is the physical translation of the vibratory energy that represents your true self. Now, obviously, there are many ways in which you can take action, and we will be discussing these today of your time. And in this discussion, we will engage some of you specifically, personally, to apply this idea of action in your lives, in your own personal and specific situations. So in other words, if you are having any degree of difficulty in manifesting what you prefer, we can discuss in specific terms what actions might be necessary to unstick yourselves, unblock yourselves, allow that information, that energy to flow, and to create an effect of manifestation in your reality. But let us remind you, once again, of the basics of taking action, because as we talked about, when we spoke of the idea now on your planet that is labeled the secret, and we talked about the secret of the secret, is that it's all well and good to have passion about a thing, but you must also be passionate about having passion in order for it to really continue. Many people will say they are following and acting on their passion, but they give up all too easily when they do not get what they expect. The idea is that if you're not passionate about being passionate, then the idea of the passion will not be sustained. For the idea is that that which truly you are passionate about, you would never give up on. You would look for any avenue, any way, any methodology whatsoever by which to pursue that idea. Now, once again, when we talk about the idea of taking action, it is within the context of understanding that it is to be without specific expectation. You can have, for lack of a better term, the expectancy that it will bring you what you need, what you require. It will increase, accelerate, and expand your joy, your creativity, your passion. But the expectation refers to the specific way in which you might envision a thing coming to fruition. And as we mentioned last night of your time, the idea is that your physical mind does not really have the capability of knowing exactly how a thing may manifest. But it does have the capability of envisioning a symbolic manifestation in its mind, in your mind's eye, that represents the idea of that particular reality that you desire, that you prefer.
Now, before I go on to the next segment, I wanted to say that he touches on a number of issues, but the one that's most critical that I found listening to what he said, and again, I'm preempting all of the introductions to this character, because you can go to it, you can see it, go to, I believe it's Barshar.com or something to that effect. Barshar.com or something. Bashar. And it's also, you can also get this guy on YouTube, which is where I saw him first. And he has about a number, almost 20 different segments there that you can check out. But I would avoid, quite frankly, I would avoid the first few, only because it's not until you put aside the thought pattern that, or put aside the aspect of who he is or what he looks like or how he is, but it's only when you start to overcome the initial reaction to, oh, this guy's a fake or a fraud or whatever. Once you get over that initial reaction and you start to really listen to what he's saying in the latter, in 7th and 8th and 9th lab, they call them the Bashar labs. Once you get over that and you start to hear what he's saying and he's explaining essentially the keystones, if you will, to our own existence and our imagination and our minds and how our minds work, perceive, and create our realities. And this is something that caught me, and I started to realize that this guy's onto something. He talks about the secret, and I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but I wasn't too overly impressed by that video, but there was an interesting aspect to it that I did enjoy and did like, and that was that what you can perceive in your mind's eye, you can achieve, and with persistence. And again, what this man talks about, what this entity, if you will, speaks about is the how to create your reality, how to bring it to fruition, how to bring it into a third dimensional state, where you can first you perceive it, you can understand it, and that higher element comes from the pineal gland and comes it's our ability to receive these higher stream of consciousness. And once we get it, then it comes into our minds, into our, and goes into our neurological mechanism of a brain, and comes out as a vision, as we can perceive it in a third dimensional reality. And by doing this, he's saying that through the passion that we have of creating this, by the, you know, like if a person is dead set on becoming wealthy, he's going to do everything in his power to create money. If a person wants fame or wants a car, you know, wants anything, all right, he will do everything he can to get what he wants or she wants. So, in essence, that's how we achieve our realities. And what he's saying is, though, however, we can do this, and we can manifest these things much more quickly, much more effectively, if we follow the patterns here. And I'm going to go. We're going to advance now, and this is a key to the higher mind. Is June 15th, 2008 segment, and it's only about 7 minutes long, so we'll go from there.
I don't think a day to you this day of your time. How are you all?
Yeah.
I will take that as okay. We thank you, each and every one of you individually, all of you together collectively, for the co-creation of this interaction. Once again, each and every time your civilization interacts with our civilization in this way, it creates a link, a bridge, and a third reality in which we can, one day, interact more and more closely, more and more immediately. So we thank you for the co-creation of this new paradigm, this new reality in which we can all together learn to play. This day of your time, this transmission will begin with a discussion of imagination. Now, we have talked about imagination many times. We would like to take the concept a little bit further this day of your time. We have reminded you of the synchronicity in many of the words that exist in various languages on your planet. We understand the channel's language is English, and in this context, we point out again, as many of you are already familiar with, the synchronicity of the word imagination, I, magi, nation. A nation of magicians is what you are. And you can use your imagination to create the kind of nation, the kind of world that you prefer. Imagination is an extremely powerful tool, and we will discuss in what ways this is so and how you can apply your imagination in very powerful ways to allow and to create the kinds of changes that you would prefer to represent within your lives, individually, and again, within your lives, collectively, globally. And as you thus then move out into the cosmos, into the stars, and join with us eventually, you will find imagination is going to play a very key role in your ability to do that. So let us begin. We will remind you, first of all, that we have talked about the idea that imagination is the conduit between your higher mind and your physical mind. It is the pipeline through which your higher mind communicates with you, and through which, in receiving that communication, you can then, as physical beings, as physical personalities, apply the information, the imagination that comes from higher mind, the communication into your physical lives, to alter them, to change them in ways that are more reflective of your passion, your excitement, your joy, your preference, or not. It is up to you to use this positively or negatively. It is up to you. But imagination is the key to allow an alignment to occur. And if you are willing to use your imagination without filtering the communication from your higher mind through belief systems that contain fear, then you will find that the outcome can always be a positive one, and you can always amplify and magnify that in any direction, in any area of your lives, whatsoever, no matter what. Higher mind, again, I remind you, has the far-seeing point of view. It stands on the mountaintop. It can see all the pathways you could possibly take in life, and it guides you toward the path of least resistance, the path that is most truly you. As we have said many times, the vibration of excitement, the vibration of passion is what functions like the compass needle. It is your magnetic north to your true self by following your passion, by following your excitement, by pointing the needle in that direction only. You will always be completely, purely, squarely on the path that is most truly you, your core, true, natural self. Your imagination is the conduit through which your higher mind can guide you in this very easily, if you allow it to be effortless, which you can. Physical mind, then, chooses in physical reality various ideas of how to apply these ideas coming from the higher mind in ways that are also pleasing to the physical being that you are, the physical personality that you are, and you learn to work in concert as a whole being, as a whole person with the higher mind. For if the physical mind thinks that it must take on the job of
figuring everything out. How is this going to happen? How can I make this happen? How can I bring everything together to get this to happen? If the physical mind thinks that it must be the only one doing that job, it is going to be burdened. It is going to be weighed down. It is going to be tired. Because the physical mind is not designed to know how things will happen. The physical mind is only designed to know how things have happened. The idea is thus then to trust the higher mind to let you know that if the higher mind is sending you information that pushes you in the direction of your passion and you trust that, what the higher mind is telling you is that by following your passion, the how will be taken care of because the higher mind can see how you're going to get there, and the translation of that how through the imagination is the physical sensation of excitement, joy, passion, and love. That's how the higher mind speaks to the physical mind through the conduit of imagination, with those feelings, those vibrations, those energies, those pictures.
Okay. And let's wait 1 second here. We will continue. And the next one is the same lab, but the following day, he goes on to the same concept. So let's continue.
I don't say good day to you this day of your time. How are you? Thank you. Good morning, class. Thank you. Today of your day, we will begin this interaction by first and foremost once again thanking each and every one of you for co-creating with us this transmission. We will be conducting this day of your time, a type of class, a type of laboratory. There will be a test. Just kidding. No, I'm not. There will be a variety of things that we will do in this interaction today. We will be sharing some knowledge. We will be...
I think I'll pass on that. There's one other that I think is critical to listen to, and it's called the Four Laws of Creation. And we'll go on from there, but let me do that one. And tell you too that the person who is being channeled, or is channeling rather, his name is Daryl Anka, and just so you know, and we can go on from there.
You follow your highest excitement.
Yes.
Like say 10 minutes ago, you were in a different reality.
Yes.
Are you crossing parallel realities every time?
Yes. All the time. Every second. Every instant. Right now. 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 All of those are different parallel realities in total.
And so you have. You're suffering, you're having a hard time, then you're also, it goes the same way, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You draw yourself into whatever parallel reality is representative of the vibration you most strongly give off. What you put out is what you get back. It's the third law of creation. There are only four laws in creation. That's the third one. Number one is that you exist. Can't do anything about that. Can't change that. do exist, and in some form you always will. Law number two, the one is the all are the one. Can't change that. Number three, what you put out is what you get back. Can't change that. Law number four, change is the only constant, except for the first three laws. That's it. Every reality, every experience, in every dimension, everywhere, every when, is some configuration of those four laws. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you for your time and everything else, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for your timelessness. We will, at this counting of your time, remind each and every one of you, you have your own reasons for why you chose to be where you are on Earth. It is an adventure that you can allow to enhance every aspect of your being when used in that light. Please remember, when things seem darkest, when things seem down, when things seem at their heaviest, if you really want enlightenment, then just lighten up on yourself. Let go of judgment. You don't need someone else's baggage in life. You came in with everything you really need to take with you. Whatever other baggage someone thought you needed to drag through your life, you don't need. Drop it. Shake out your hands, physical and spiritual, and start walking taller and lighter on the earth. You will accelerate greatly when you're not weighed down by things that have nothing to do with you. The more you are yourself, the more you will actually be capable of helping everyone else also choose to be themselves, because they will see by your example what they can also be, not that they must choose it, but at least you give them the choice by choosing joy, love, and excitement for yourself. And they do work. There is nothing in creation that contradicts the choices you make that you believe most strongly are the ones that are your preference. There is nothing in creation that contradicts the choices you make. There are no interruptions in your life. Everything that happens is there for your reasons to use as you wish. Use them in the way you prefer to use them so they can be seen and felt and experienced in an enriching way. And you will see and hear and feel and taste and smell and touch. Everything will take its cue from that state of being. Be that state of being because you can. You don't need another reason to do so. Just be who you are because that's who you are. That's reason enough in the eyes of creation. You don't have to justify your existence, because if you did not deserve to exist, believe me, you wouldn't. But you do exist. And so in the eyes of creation, it must be necessary, it must be important that you are a part of all that is. Without you, each and every one of you, each and every one of us, each and every being in creation, without us all, all that is wouldn't be all that is. Be your part of all that is in all the ways you wish to be. That's your birthright. It is your soul right. We extend to you our deep appreciation in allowing us this transmission and sharing with you, and we deeply appreciate the gift that you have given to us in allowing us to experience the unique manifestation of creation you have chosen to be, and it opens our eyes to that many more ways that creation has of expressing itself. We thank you and bid you all a fond and exciting good day.
I'm going to just repeat what he calls the four laws of creation. And we can
Right now. Out is what you get back. It's the third law of creation. There are only four laws in creation. That's the third one. Number one is that you exist. Can't do anything about that. Can't change that. You exist. And in some form, you always will. Law number two, the one is the all. The all are the one. Can't change that. Number three, what you put out is what you get back. Can't change that. Law number four, change is the only constant, except for the first three laws. That's it. Every reality, every experience, in every dimension, everywhere, every when, is some configuration of those four laws. Does that help?
Yes. Thank you for your time and everything.
Okay. Now, just to go over that again, I wanted to mention what he states, and makes a lot of sense. And if you go into cosmic laws, that is true. You exist. That you know. You know you exist. In what reality, that's up to you. That's your reality, the one you create. Second is, one is the all. Okay? One is all and all is one, I guess. We are part of the all. We are part of each other. And we're part of the divine plan. So one is all. And, of course, number three, the karmic law, of what you put out is what you get back. And what you do in this life, you receive in this life, in this reality. And number four, change is the only constant. That can be changed for the good or the bad, but the key to the constant change is that we thrive for change. We change each day. We thrive for a new day. We look forward to a new day and changing something. Our hair, our sight, our clothing, our our jobs, our the people around us, our situations, our vacations, or whatever. We are always seeking change, and change is always upon us, one way or the other, whether we like it or not. But so those are basically the four laws, as he says, of creation. And I'll repeat them again. Is one is that you exist. Number two is that one is the all. All is one. And number three is, what you put out, you get back. Which is basically we've talked about this in many times. Emerson mentioned it in the laws of compensation. The great sages have talked of karma. And, that's basically true. And four is change is the only constant, aside from those three laws before. And from there, I'm going to go to, I have enough time, I think, to do one more. And there's one that really, I really enjoyed seeing the other day. And it's not in this series here, but hopefully I can get to it. And we'll try. Hopefully we can get to it.
back and forth. And as it does so at infinite speed, you can ramp up the speed back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah, I'm just trying to... I'm just trying to go forward here, so hang on one second. This one was very good. But there's another which he talks, well, maybe we can get into this at another time, but I think this was the one, if I recall, that I, Shah's lab number 9, which was quite... quite revealing.
Parallel reality universe that is as different as you prefer it to be without necessarily creating a series of...
Yeah, we're going to start that again, but this is parallel. He talks about parallel realities and how they exist and how we create them.
Successive steps. It's all how you define that shift. All how you define yourself in that next universe so that you will only take yourself to the universe that holds that definition you hold of yourself, and that's what you will experience. So if you have a definition of change that says, I can only change a little bit, or it's difficult to change, or I can only change slowly, what you will then be doing is actually popping through completely different whole universes that are very similar to the one you left from. Or you can say, I am totally different, and you can shift to a universe that then is very, very different from the one you shifted from. It's really up to you, and it's really up to your belief systems and definitions as to exactly how you experience that rate of change, that rate of shifting. But all those realities all exist right now. It's up to you to change the channel. And you can go from channel 1 to channel 2 to channel 3 to channel 4 to channel 5, channel 6, channel 7, or you can simply go channel 1, channel 10. You can do that. And you can even go channel 1, channel 10, channel 2, channel 5, channel 1, channel 10, channel 9, channel 7, channel 8, channel 20, channel 30, channel 100, channel 1. You can do that too. And you do that all the time. Many times when you say, oh, I haven't been able to change, I haven't been able to make this change. Many times you actually have changed, but then you simply changed back. That's all. So, again, it's a matter of really understanding the concept of state of being, and when you're in a certain state of being, you really are in a different reality. You really are a different person. Please, 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 please. Take me literally. Please take me literally. This isn't a metaphor. This isn't a metaphor. You literally are a different person when you make any shift at all. Literally a different person. So, whatever you define, truly define, that person to be, that's the total reality that exists as well. If you suddenly define yourself to be a person that has a very different behavior pattern than the other person you were a moment ago, or again, perhaps more precisely, if you define that your consciousness is now perceiving itself through the matrix of a different universal reality than it did a moment ago, that reality is a total reality with its own sense of history, its own sense of its own future, and it bears no relationship whatsoever to the other universe you were in unless you have defined in that universe that it contains a similar component that makes it seem as if it has a similarity to the universe you were in. So again, if you feel that things are difficult to change or they change more slowly than you would prefer, all you're simply doing is creating a new, whole, total universe that has a lot of similarity to the one you were just in. But you don't have to do that. If you do that, however, that might be a clue to you that you may have belief systems that says, I'm not comfortable going any faster than that, changing any more radically than that. Why not? And then it's up to you to explore your belief systems and your definitions to find out why the pace is what the pace is, because it may actually serve you in a number of ways. Just because sometimes things change slowly doesn't mean that's a negative thing. You yourself may require that pace for a variety of positive reasons. So allow yourself to truly examine why things are happening in the way they are by first allowing yourself to know that whatever is happening is what needs to be happening because it's a true reflection of your state of being at that moment. A true reflection. And when you get in touch with what it is a reflection of in terms of your beliefs and your definitions, then you will have far more conscious leeway and awareness to make the next change, define the next change in the way that you prefer to or closer to what you prefer than you did before. And you may then feel yourself accelerating, things changing more rapidly, more synchronicity coming into your life, however it expresses itself. But the key is to understand that you already change totally every time you change, anytime you change. So it's not about having to learn to change. It's not about having to manipulate one little piece of the puzzle here and another little piece of the puzzle there. Every move you make changes everything, everywhere, every when. It's really up to you to simply determine what kind of total change you prefer, and to examine what it is within you that will allow you or not allow you to give yourself permission to experience that change. Now, this is why we have also called this idea the 13th step. We understand on your program with respect to the concept of addiction that there are such things as 12-step programs, and these are all well and good. We are in no way, shape, or form invalidating. We understand they help many people. We are also adding at the same time this concept of the 13th step, that when an individual, not someone fooling themselves, not someone pretending, but when an individual truly understands that every change is a total change, for example, someone with what you call an addiction, someone who chooses something again and again, they say they don't prefer, yet they are still motivated to choose it, that's an addict, no matter what it is. When you choose that over and over again without knowing why, in that sense, that's an addiction. The idea is that if you know every change is a total change and you actually understand that when you change you become a completely different person, you are capable of defining that new person as someone who does not have an addiction and never did. That's why if you actually use the 13th step when dealing with the concept of addiction, you will actually get to a place where you will be a person who doesn't even have the concept of having to worry about whether they will get the urge again to fall back into that pattern, because the point is if you're truly another person, you never had the pattern, you never had the addiction, and you will never feel the urge because it's not part of the makeup of your universe. Is that clear? Now, again, the degree of efficacy with which you use this concept is really up to you, and it may, when you begin to play with it, spark a process within you of getting in touch with the belief systems within you that may be connected to the idea of choices that might be read as addiction, so on and so forth. That's all right. The point is, if you start to work with this concept of ultimate change, total change, the 13th step, it will begin to allow you the freedom to understand. You do not have to fear. You do not have to fear that something can somehow reach out from the past and control you, that you are, in that sense, controlled by the things you were and that you have no power against them. If you want to create that reality experience, you can. But remember, you're creating the experience of seeming to be powerless, and you're using your power to create it. So, there's the paradox. You need to understand that it's simply a matter of how you define yourself, and how you define yourself is what's going to determine where your power flows and in what way it manifests. It's as simple as that. So when you know every change is a total change, you can really start fresh, you can really start from scratch, you can really clean the slate and allow yourself the freedom, the permission, and the freedom to really know you are a new person with a completely new understanding and idea, and anything that was
no longer is in that state for the you you are right now.
Make sense?
Yes.
All right. Simple physics, science of the obvious. That's all this is. That's all this is. Let it sink in. You don't have to get it all now. You don't have to get it all at once. As we said, every one of these ideas is a piece of a big picture, and the idea is to use them all holistically. And this is why we are stressing, shall we say, the idea, underscoring, shall we say, the idea of one leads to the other, the science of the obvious. If you know this, then you know that. Because when you have that foundation, when you have that spine, when you have that core, anytime you may find yourself getting a little bit confused, a little bit fuzzy on one particular concept or another, one particular tool or another, all you need to do is follow the spine all the way back to the beginning. Everything is one thing. It literally is just one thing. From that knowledge, from that knowing, go back down the spine in succession, clarifying on the way, making sure everything is based on the initial principle, and that will act as a clarifying mechanism for whatever it is you are dealing with at that moment. Does that make sense?
Okay. That's the end of that particular one. And you can, if you want to pursue this further, which I recommend that you do, you go to Bashar's B-A-S-H-A-R apostrophe S lab, L-A-B at YouTube, and you can go to part, this particular one was part 9, I believe there's, I don't know how many there are quite a few labs, and they're all about 8 or 10 minute segments, but I hope you enjoyed what we did tonight, and I hope you tell your friends about it, and check this guy out yourself. It's really a trip. It's really fun. And you're going to find you're going to learn something from this guy. And that's what it's all about. So take it from there, and thank you for listening, and have a pleasant evening. And tomorrow night we have George Dixon with us and Lila. So until then.